All right. And for the next hour, you'll be listening to Radio Naturopath here at WHUS 91.7 FM. I am Fran Storch, and I'm here with my co-host, Ron Meniza.
Good morning.
Yes. So we are both here, contrary to popular belief, and we will be here for the next hour. So do feel free to call in and participate in the show. The number to call is 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. All right. And if you can't listen to this entire show, we will be podcasted. So you can always go to whus.org and click on the talk menu, and Radio Naturopath will be there, and there'll be a collection of episodes. You can also go to my website, franstorchnd.com, and you can catch me on Facebook at franstorchnd, naturopathic physician, Radio Naturopath, as well as on Instagram and Twitter at franstorchnd. All right, so let's talk about stuff.
Stuff, what you got?
All right, so I'd like people to call in and ask questions and so I can answer them, because this is your show. Just remember that this is your show, and you can call in at 860-486-9487. Ron will take a call. We can put you on the air, and if you don't want to go on the air, we'll just answer your question. But either way, I'd like to answer your questions. In the meantime, I'm just going to talk about... I'm going to focus on detoxification today, because that's something that people wonder about. Should I be bothering with it? Should I be thinking about it? And, you know, after going to the NHAND conference a couple weeks ago, my feeling is that depending on what's going on with you, you probably should at least pay some attention to it. That toxins in the environment are a thing, and they're something that you do want to be thinking about. That you don't want to really be, just have an idea that you're not going to pay any attention at all to it. It's something that you think about, because the truth is, we have pollution in the environment. There's just no way around it. And that pollution can get into our bodies. And so there are things you want to do about it. Of course, the best thing to do would be to have a healthier environment in the first place. And so as part of naturopathic medicine, one of our basic principles is the idea of prevention, that you want to prevent something from occurring before it does. And in order for that to happen, so you're going to prevent colds by doing things like eating less sugar, washing your hands a lot, doing neti pots and gargling. Those are things you can do personally to prevent you getting colds. But in order to prevent people from getting sick from environmental toxins, you don't just take care of yourself, you take care of the environment. So cleaning up the environment so that everybody benefits and that you have an environment in which to live healthfully, that's part of naturopathic medicine too. It's not just working on an actual person, it's on working to clean up the world. So of course, naturopathic physicians are very, very concerned about climate change. Climate change is a big deal. And that's climate change. The issue of climate change is part of naturopathic medicine. If you have climate change and you have increases in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, you have increases in pollution, if you have increases in holes in the ozone, you have increases in toxic chemicals in the environment, we're very concerned about all of that, and we would like to see those things be changed. And so working for that change is part of that's part of our agenda. So you'll see naturopathic physicians occasionally on boards and, trying to get fracking banned in their areas or get safer practices done with regard to drinking water. You'll see naturopathic physicians, speaking about it or, going to town council meetings and things like that, because that's something we're very concerned about. It's very difficult to be healthy if you live in an unhealthy environment of any type. So, what are some things that I'm concerned about? So let's go through a few items. First of all, let's talk about water. So water, we are naturopathic physicians, and so one of the things we're going to do is we want to make sure you're hydrated. You need water to stay awake. If you don't have enough water, you're not going to have enough blood, and you're not going to have enough circulation getting to, everywhere in your body. What can dehydration cause? It can cause muscle cramping. It can cause less detoxification. It can cause constipation. It can cause your kidneys to function less efficiently. It can cause headaches. It can cause brain fog. Because one of the things that happens is if you're not feeling well, one of the first things you can do is drink some water.
We drink a lot of water.
Yeah, and I was looking last night. I was reading a study yesterday about, because a woman came in who had just been diagnosed with gastroesophageal reflux, and she had been immediately offered a proton pump inhibitor, which is one of those drugs that shuts down the production of stomach acid, not 100%, but mostly in your stomach. And really, those drugs are meant to only be taken for about 2 weeks while you heal up an ulcer. But what usually happens is doctors give people gastroesophageal reflux medicine, proton pump inhibitors, indefinitely. And you're supposed to have hydrochloric acid in your body. So I went online and I found a study. I found an abstract that talked about how eating a Mediterranean diet and drinking high pH water, which is very easy to come by, they grouped people into two groups. One, they gave proton pump inhibitors, and one, they put them on a Mediterranean diet, which is where you eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, monounsaturated fats from olives and olive oil. You eat a lot of fish. You eat small amounts of red meat, and you eat more poultry. So it's a lot of fruits and vegetables, really mostly clean, healthy diet. If you eat grains, you don't eat a huge amount of them, and you eat nice whole grain stuff. And they compared eating this Mediterranean diet along with this drinking high pH water. So high pH water is going to be, in the study, was the pH of the water was 8. And you can go to the supermarket or the health food store and find bottled water that's high pH. It's very easy to find. And if you really get into the high pH water, you can get a system at home that will increase the pH of your water. So you're making the water somewhat alkaline. So the alkaline water, so you drink alkaline water, it's going to, when it's going down, if there's any acid around, it's going to neutralize it. So that's helpful. If you eat this Mediterranean diet, you're going to eat a lot of foods that are anti-inflammatory. And the other thing that you're probably doing with this Mediterranean diet is you're clearing out foods that are in fact inflammatory. So you're eating less processed food and you're eating a lot more whole food. So it's a combination of eating less inflammatory foods and eating more foods that are just healthful. So you're just going to have less inflammation. And inflammation is what leads to gastroesophageal reflux disease. So drinking this water, it's such a simple thing to heal. And if you have heartburn, one of the first things to do is go get a glass of water. Because if there's acid that's bumping up past your low esophageal sphincter, past that little ring of muscle that keeps the acid and food in your stomach, there's going to be acid and food that's coming up. The first thing to do is to wash it down. What are you going to wash it down with? Water. And if the water's pH is a little elevated, then it's going to wash down the acid out of your stomach. Now, what's that going to do when it gets into your stomach? If you're consuming this alkaline food, is that going to then create greater acidity in your system? I'm going to say probably not. One of the benefits of alkaline water supposedly is that it's going to pull out some minerals that you don't want. So it helps you to get rid of some toxins and decrease heavy metals in your body. I wouldn't say that it's a huge heavy metal treatment, but it is helpful. But in this study, what I'm excited about is it helped people who had gastroesophageal reflux disease better than proton pump inhibitors, diet change, and drinking a particular kind of water. That's awesome to me. So anyway, but you want the water that you're drinking to be purified. So the thing is, when you get bottled water, there's issues with getting bottled water. Of course, when you get bottled water, there's an environmental issue. And the environmental issue is that you buy bottled water, it's in plastic, and there's a lot of production that goes into those plastics. And there's a lot of resources that go into making all of those bottles of water. And then there's, I don't think people really know 100% how much plastic residues leach into water when you're when they're sitting on a shelf. Now, we've mostly gotten rid of BPA, but there are other plastics that can leach into water. And the concern about plastics often is that they are they're xenoestrogens. They're endocrine disruptors. So drinking bottled water all the time can be a concern. And we just got that nice big container for our water in the refrigerator, and it is BPA free, but it's still plastic.
Right. Well,
I'm a little concerned about it.
Does anything leach out of a BPA free plastic
it
container?
It might. We don't know. And that
I'll
may
ask
be
some
known.
Questions.
Yeah. And so that's the thing I'm concerned about. I mean, if you're going to store water or have a water bottle or, you know, something that you're going to carry around and drink water out of all day, what's gotten really popular is glass containers. And these nice glass containers are encased in plastic so that you can knock them over and they're less likely to break. And you can also get stainless steel containers and not going to leach anything harmful when you're drinking them, you know. And if you get a travel coffee cup, it's a good idea to have that be stainless steel as well. And so you're not going to leach anything harmful into your coffee. So this is an issue. The other thing is, so yes, Ron, what have we found?
Well, Mother Jones says the scary new evidence on BPA-free plastics and the big tobacco-style campaign to bury it. So apparently there is something about BPA-free. But I'll find out more for you so you can keep going.
Plastics, the concern is that it doesn't matter what plastic it is. If you're using plastic, plastic can leach into whatever you're drinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where this becomes a big concern for us is what do we carry on our bikes? The water bottles that we carry
water
on our bottles, bikes.
Yeah, BPA freeze too, but still.
They're still plastic, and we're drinking out of them.
Yep.
So it's a concern. And so one of the things to do would be to consider, do we need to revolutionize the bicycle, the water bottle industry to line bicycle containers, bicycle water bottle containers with something that's inert, that we're sure is inert, because I don't know that that's going on right now.
I don't know what that would be that would be easy to carry.
Right, exactly. And the thing is that glass is hard to carry, and if your bike goes down or if you drop your water bottle and it's glass, it's going to break. And now you have glass in the road, and you could ride over it. There's all kinds of problems with that. But while you're drinking the water out of the bottle, of course, then it's going to be non-toxic. So then there's what toxins could be in the water supply. So depending on where you're getting your water, This is going to be kind of a downer of a show, because I'm going to have to give you some things to think about that you want to look at. One of the things I was concerned with, because thanks to Tina Beaudoin, who gave a lovely talk last week on the water supply and what toxins could be in water. And one of the things we did talk about is the possibility of plastics. And the other thing is that in wells. So we have a lot of wells around here. Ron and I at our house, we have a well. It's a very nice 200-foot deep well. And wells can have biologicals in them. They can have bacteria, coliforms, and they can have parasites in them. Generally, if you have a really deep well, our well is 200 feet deep, we're not going to be worried about coliforms. It's very difficult for animals to get into it, and you're not going to be getting biologics in there from the environment. So the concern that Ron and I have for our well is minerals getting into it from the environment. I'm not so concerned about lead and mercury for us, but I am concerned about arsenic, radon, and uranium, because those things definitely are in the soil around here. And I'm concerned about whether there's arsenic in our water. I don't know that it's been tested for that. So I think we're going to go do that, and we're going to report back to you. So if you have a well, that's something you want to do. And there are local water services that will test your water for you. So you can find them locally, and they'll come and they'll test your water. And one of the things you want to test for, if you have a very deep well, you really want the minerals. You want to know about lead, mercury, and arsenic, and radon and uranium. Those are things you want to know about.
You used to be able to do that up here at UConn, but I don't know if you can do that anymore. You used to be able
right.
to get your water tested here.
There's a local company that can help us.
Okay.
Yeah. So you just have to look for it online. Just look up water testing, And yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll find out in a week. Okay.
So there's a company that you can use. So that's one of the things. Now, if you have a public water supply, oh boy. So this is where things get dicey. With a public water supply, now you're sitting. The public water supply is going to come from a reservoir. So reservoirs get stuff rained into it. You get stuff coming out of the sky. What's coming out of the sky? Well, one of the things, unfortunately, that can come out of the sky is methylmercury. The methylmercury is coming from industry.
It's coming from exhaust pipes, probably.
Yes. Yep. From industry, from factories.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, in Connecticut, we're in line with a lot of factories in the Midwest.
We are in line with power companies from both Ohio and also West Virginia, and that's what drops on Connecticut, which is why Connecticut has a very tricky problem with pollution up here, because we don't create it. We're
the recipients of it.
We inherit it, right.
Yes. So if you're drinking a public water source, you might really want to look into getting reverse osmosis filtration to get a lot of the stuff out of it. So just using a charcoal filter that's in a pitcher in your refrigerator might not be adequate, because you want to get a lot of stuff out. So here's the problem with public water supplies. One of them is methylmercury.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that the public water supply gets recycled. It goes, the water gets treated, and then it gets sent back into the reservoir, so it gets recycled. So people, they use the bathroom, and they flush. And if you have a sewer treatment plant where they treat the water and then they send it back out, it may not be possible for them to get all of the contaminants out of the water. So once in a while, there's a problem with coliforms that you'll get a warning that you have a boil notice that there's going to be coliform. So what is a coliform? Is a bacteria that grows in your colon that can cause disease. Once in a while you get a boil notice and that there's coliforms in the water. So, then they have to take care of the problem, and then the boil notice will go off. But the other thing is that when people, use the toilet, people take drugs. I don't necessarily mean, alcohol and recreational drugs. I mean, they take, they take medications, they take, hormones. They take, antidepressant drugs. They take blood pressure medications, all kinds of medications. And those medications can't always be 100% extracted from the water. That sometimes they will find residues, metabolites of drugs in the water. So these are found. So again, if they're hormones, they can be endocrine disruptors. And if they're any other kind of drug, well, they can do whatever's going on with that drug. So that's a concern. So finding out about that, and if you're using a public water supply, it might not be a bad idea to get some kind of a filtration system. If you buy bottled water, you have a couple of issues. One of the issues is, where is that bottled water coming from? If it's coming from a spring, you have to know where the spring is coming from. And it still might be, if you have a favorite bottled water service, you might still want to test it for minerals. So that's one thing. And the next thing is, from a public water supply, so for bottled water, if it's coming from a spring, that could be an issue. Sometimes bottled water is just purified water. It's coming from a local water supply, a local public water supply from a reservoir, and it's been purified.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be purified to have nothing in it, but you don't know that 100%. You can contact the company and find that out. But, if you're getting water from the Teterboro, New Jersey water supply and then purifying it, and that's your bottled water, does that really make sense? I'm saying Teterboro, New Jersey, because I saw it on a bottle once. I literally saw it on a bottle.
Okay.
I'm not sure which brand it was, but it was one of those popular brands that you can buy in the convenience store. One of the things that happens with water is taste. Now, our water tastes fantastic. So I think our water must have a really good proportion of minerals that makes it taste really good, the water out of our tap. So, you know, we very happily can drink the water right out of our tap. But we've put it in this container that I'm now concerned about. We were drinking it out of glass bottles for, we were drinking it out of another plastic container for a long time. And then one day I said, we shouldn't be doing this. And I put it, I was working out of two glass bottles. And you got tired of that, so you wanted something bigger with a spigot.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got this plastic thing. And now I'm like, I don't think we should be doing this.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, according to the minor research that I'm doing right now, the only thing we should really be drinking out of that is inert and not going to be a problem
is the tap.
Ceramic.
Oh, what about glass?
Nope.
What's wrong with glass?
Not according to what people are saying.
Really?
Yeah, glass is probably more stable, but not as stable as ceramic. Ceramic
okay.
is the most stable out there.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, try to find
well,
it.
I would think glass would be better than plastic. What's in glass?
Hang on. I don't know.
And glass is made of silica.
I'll look and see.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on what the glass is, you know. But either way, I mean, it just seems that ceramic and glass are going to be better than plastic. That the plastic, I'm very concerned about the xenohormones, the endocrine disruptors. That's the big problem with those. So that's the water supply. So now you've got this concern. So one of the, so your action steps are, if you got a well, it's a good idea to get the well tested for biologics, for, you know, for parasites and bacteria, as well as minerals. Around here, the minerals to be concerned about are going to be lead, mercury, arsenic, uranium, and radon. Okay, because we do have granite in this area, with even though we're not in New Hampshire. And also, the closer you get to the Rhode Island border, so if you're on the Connecticut-Rhode Island border, there's a lot of granite over there. I mean, Westerly was settled by Italians who came over from Italy, who knew how to mine marble. So they brought them over to mine granite, and that's why there's a huge Italian population in Westerly. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yes, and there's a granite street in Westerly. And there's memorial service, memorial companies in Westerly where you can get your headstone made. Interesting, right? So,
the little things you need to know.
Yeah. Well, Radio Naturopath was born in New England. Well, the second place in New England that Radio Naturopath existed was in Westerly. A big shout out to Chris DiPaola of WBLQ, who took care of me for a couple of years.
Got you going. Got you on your feet.
He did.
And on the air.
He's a great guy. If you're ever in the Westerly area, you can listen to WBLQ. I don't have a call number for it, but WBLQ.
Matter. People can find it.
Yes.
It'll be the one that comes in the best there.
Right. Well.
Because not much comes in Westerly.
No, I know, but he got his station. He started, WBLQ started out as a community radio station, and that's where I learned all about community radio and what you can and can't do and the calls to action and stuff like that. He taught me about all of that. But Chris had a passion for AM radio. And he really wanted to ultimately have a commercial station, and he finally got to do that. So WBLQ is down there on, there's an AM station and there's a PM station. Wait, FM.
PM?
FM.
Is that like in the evening?
Yeah, right.
Right.
No. So anyway, big shout out to Chris DiPaola for helping me out there and for the granite in Westerly. Okay, so environmental toxins. So yes, there's environmental toxins in the environment. Now, who out there listening always eats 100% pesticide-free, organic or better than organic food? I'm listening.
Okay.
Cricket, cricket, cricket. Mm. Whose diet is 100% that? Anybody? I'm sure there's a few of you out there, but I'm sure that most of us like to go to a restaurant. Most of us, you know, some of us are eating a lot of good quality food and a lot of pristine food, but we're not eating 100% pristine food. So there's always going to be stuff in the food. Unfortunately, as I just said, there's going to be stuff in the environment. So, you know, there's going to be chemicals that your body looks at and goes, what do you want me to do with this? So when you have chemicals that you're consuming in your food or that are coming out of the air or, how many of you are using 100% natural Soap. That's the other thing. When you throw things in the laundry, are you using 100% natural soap, or are you doing the convenient thing and going to the store, whether it's the health food store or the grocery store, and buying some kind of stuff to wash your clothes in? Also, who among you, when you buy a new sweater, or a new shirt, or a new pair of pants at the local clothing shop, goes home and before you wear it, throw it in the wash? Do you do that? Well, you might want to. Because, if these things are shipped in big container ships or shipped across the country, they're probably going to spray some kind of pesticide on it because buggies can get in there and eat your clothes because some fibers are delicious to bugs. So they may be sprayed with chemicals. And so washing your clothes when you first get them is a good idea. I've had patients come in who are sensitive to that. They know that when they buy a new sweater or shirt or, any kind of clothing, that before they wear it, they have to wash it, or they're going to, they're going to get a rash at the very least. So we just, it's really hard unless you go live in the woods and you live off the grid and you live off the land. And even then, unfortunately we're in the world and it rains. The rain has chemicals in it. This show is a downer. Oh my goodness.
Why?
Because I'm telling people that, basically everywhere you turn, there's chemicals. You just can't get away from it.
Well, yeah, but there's also a lot of other things that could kill you.
It's the yes, I know.
Whatever. If you just dwell on it, then you're gonna.
Well, this is the point that I'm making. So what
you're
you just said,
ever, you're not going to ever want to walk out of your house, but so you don't want to stay in your house.
Let's open this up.
Because there's formaldehyde in your house.
Okay, so let's open this up. You're saying if you worry about it, then you'll never do anything. Okay. This show is about, I'm saying we can't do that with this. We can't. I'm not saying you should hide in your house and never do anything. There's a great song a long time ago by Joe Jackson on the album that had Stepping Out on it. I can't remember what the name of the album was. Might have been Stepping Out. You remember that song? You, babe, stepping out.
Yes. Into the,
okay.
I do.
So on that album, that was a great album. Oh, my goodness. One of the songs.
On another note.
One of the songs on that album went like this, and I can't sing too much because it's copyrighted. Everything.
You have 30 seconds.
Everything gives you cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no cure. There's no answer. Great song. Anyway, if you have a chance, you can listen to that album. That album came out in the 80s, and it's one of my favorite albums ever. Joe Jackson is phenomenal. But anyway, so. Ron has a point, and I have a point. What I'm saying, that's why this episode is called Everyday Detox.
Okay.
What can you do to minimize your exposure and help keep yourself cleaned out? My point is that you can't, if you live in the world and if you're listening to this show and if you're hanging out in society, which most people who are listening are, because you're using technology to listen to me and, there's... there's Wi-Fi and there's some electromagnetic fields that we're dealing with right now. And especially if you're listening to me, you're probably listening to me on some kind of a device that has electromagnetic fields. So we've got that going on. So we have to be a little cognizant, maybe not a little cognizant, but cognizant that there's some things that we want to do to make sure that we have good detoxification going on. I have a lovely patient who 4 times a year she does a detox. And by the detox, she takes a product from, there's a supplement. There's many, many detox products you can get from supplement companies. So she has a particular one that she likes, and she does that, and she follows a detoxifying diet for like a week or two every season, which is very, very admirable. I really admire her for doing this because I don't really do that. And yet maybe we should. 4 times a year, we should take a detox product and do a detox diet for a week or so. That's
okay.
Not a bad thing to do. What would a detox product look like?
Yeah,
well, usually detox products. So if it's a supplement, a detox product is usually going to be a powder that you're going to drink in something. And the reason you do a powder is because you can take a big scoop of it and you can fit a lot of stuff into a scoop. So it's going to have different things in it. It's probably going to have a bunch of detoxifying herbs, herbs that stimulate liver function and possibly kidney function. So it'll have things in it like burdock, yellow dock, dandelion root. It might have ceanothus, New Jersey tea. It might have chelidonium. It might have artichoke. It might have milk thistle. It will probably have some kind of major fiber in it. So it might have ground flaxseed. It might even have bentonite clay in it. All things that can help the herbs that you get into your body, and they stimulate the liver to work better and to work more efficiently. And in the case of milk thistle, it helps to heal the liver. Milk thistle is an amazing plant because one of the things milk thistle does is it helps to regrow the liver. It helps you to make new hepatocytes. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Make new liver cells.
Okay.
And it's also an antioxidant, so it prevents destruction of the liver, as is artichoke. So that's globe artichoke. That's the kind of artichoke that's, you know, kind of round, and you pull off those heavy leaves, and then you steam it, and you dip it in fat and eat it. And the reason you dip it in a healthy fat is because that artichoke is going to help you to absorb that fat. So that's why you dip it in olive oil. People like to dip it in mayonnaise, but it's probably better to dip it in. If the mayonnaise is, you know, your own mayonnaise that you just made with some healthy organic olive oil and egg, that's fine, you know, or you could dip it in avocado or just olive oil or grass-fed butter. That's all fine. So one of the things that we heard at the conference, unfortunately, is that butter, regardless of whether it's grass-fed, wait for it, PCBs.
The grass-fed?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Because the cows are taking it in.
In the grass. Because it's raining down. It's in the
soil. Oh, because it's in acid rain.
Well, not specifically acid rain. Acid rain is specifically rain that has sulfuric acid in it from efflux from factories and cars.
Which is why you have to be very careful about eating fish from Connecticut fresh water.
Yeah, because of acid rain.
There's signs at Mansfield Hollow that say you really shouldn't eat more than one a month.
Wow.
And now I'd have to double check that and see if that's changed. But it seems like the last time I saw it, I went, really, one a month? I mean, I know people that go there and fish for food.
Yeah.
You know, you see people down there that you know they're fishing for food.
Right.
And if they're eating there, you know, three or four times a week.
Yeah.
That cannot be good. But that's the Ohio and the West Virginia power plants.
Right.
They're just raining all this nasty stuff on top of us. And we need a cover.
Right. So there's a neat compound that you can get that's a supplement. It's modified citrus pectin. So modified citrus pectin is pretty neat because it can help to sweep heavy metals out easily, you know, like in a nice calm way through your digestive system. So I had a guy, so heavy metal toxicity is very interesting. So naturopathic physicians used to be able to get our hands on a supplement called DMSA, dimercaptosuccinic acid. It used to be an over-the-counter supplement, and then it was taken off as an over-the-counter supplement. Now you can only get it by prescription. So then you have to go to a doctor who has the clue about natural medicine and is willing to prescribe it for you. There are also places you can go and do chelation therapy. So what we used to be able to do is we used to be able to give you this compound and have you take a bunch of it and, you know, and then do a 24-hour or a 6-hour, some specified amount of time urine challenge and see if you had elevated levels of various heavy metals in your urine. And if you did, that would mean that they were being stored in your urine. And people would come back. The most common ones they'd come back with were mercury and lead. I think we did that with you, and you had mercury and lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and you had had exposure to lead from because you used to work on houses.
And also I grew up in a gas station lead gas.
Right,
leaded gasoline. And we used to have skin exposure to lead gas.
Oh, boy. And then the mercury, I don't know how much of that came from fish and how much of that came from just the environment, from rain. So it can be useful to have a test for that. The thing is now, in order to get a DMSA challenge, you have to go to either an osteopath or an MD who can do these things for you, who can prescribe that. They can also do a DMPS challenge, and that's IV. And there are places where you can go to have that done as well, and then you can do IV chelation. And so those are costly and time-consuming, and not everybody wants to do that. And yet they can be beneficial things to do. So to help sweep heavy metals out, there are things that you can that can be helpful that are over-the-counter, and you probably can assume that you have some degree of heavy metals, which is why everyday detox is a good thing. And you might want to look at your fish consumption. If you're eating large fish a lot of the time, it's probably a good idea to limit that to once a week or less, and just eat smaller fish that don't tend to bioaccumulate heavy metals in them. If you consume foods with a lot of selenium in them, like Brazil nuts, and if you eat a good proportion of nuts and healthy produce, you're going to get selenium, and you're going to get a lot of detoxifying compounds in those, and that's going to help to sweep heavy metals out. If you eat a diet that's high in fiber, and when I say fiber, I don't necessarily mean whole grains. I mean things like ground flax seeds, nuts and seeds, doing occasional bentonite clay, also just eating a lot of vegetables and fruit, you're going to be sweeping toxins out of your system. So that can help to get rid of heavy metals. There are supplements that you can take. There are drainage remedies that do heavy metals. So there's detoxifying compounds from a variety of companies that have a mixture of homeopathic remedies to help to encourage cells to dump out the heavy metals. And there's compounds that have herbs that will help you to do that as well. And there's a neat compound called fulvic acid, which is supposed to help to take heavy metals out. And these are over the counter. Also glutathione. You can take glutathione, or you can just make sure that you have compounds to make glutathione, because taking glutathione, it's hard. Glutathione doesn't last in your system when you take oral glutathione. That's why there's a recommendation that you use either topical, or you can even do IV glutathione. But you can also take vitamin C and N-acetylcysteine, which are very easy to take, and you'll increase your levels of glutathione. And you also need selenium to make glutathione. And glutathione helps you to detoxify. Now, the other thing is, if you have a methylation issue, So that's if you have an MTHFR anomaly, methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase. So that
English,
is...
English, please.
Thank you. I was about to explain it.
Okay.
So that was a... So that's an anomaly where you have a gene where you don't convert your folic acid as efficiently as if you didn't have the gene. And so if you don't, you may need to up your cofactors for methylation. So methylation is where you're passing, there's a piece of an organic compound that you pass around in a certain cycle in your body. And suffice it to say, if you increase your folic acid in the form of methyl tetrahydrofolate, the MTHF, as well as absorbable B6 in the form of pyridoxal 5-phosphate, and vitamin B12 in the form of methylcobalamin, if you make sure you have adequate levels of those, and also magnesium, you're going to methylate better. Your methyl pathway is going to work better. And the methylation pathway is very important for producing energy. It's part of the ATP system, which is the energy systems in your electron transport chain. It's very important for the production of protein, the production of new cells and tissues in your body. It's also important for the production of neurotransmitters. So all of those chemicals that run your brain function, the methylation pathway is very important for. So if you keep going in that methylation pathway, you wind up at homocysteine. Homocysteine is an amino acid that, when it bioaccumulates in your body, it can cause you to be more coagulable. That means that your blood will be more likely to coagulate. It'll be stickier, and you're going to be at greater risk for having inflammation and for having blood clots. Now, that depends on how much homocysteine you have. If it's a little bit elevated, you can get a test for homocysteine. Just your doctor can run a test for you. If it's a little bit out of range, it's worth looking at your consumption of B6, B12, and folic acid, and magnesium. Because that homocysteine pathway when it's functioning the way it's supposed to, homocysteine is supposed to be converted to cystathionine, which is then supposed to be converted to cysteine and then to glutathione. And glutathione, as I said, helps you to get rid of heavy metals. So if you have a methylation problem, then you're going to be more likely to have problems with heavy metals. So that's something to get to look into. What I tend to do is I check most of my patients' homocysteine and their B12 levels and their folic acid levels. And I assess them for other things to see if that's an issue. And like I said, if you want to increase your glutathione, you can get extra selenium by taking it, or you can simply eat a couple of Brazil nuts a day. That will give you more selenium. And you can also take vitamin C and N-acetylcysteine. And N-acetylcysteine is a really nice compound because it's a good source of that cysteine that you can build the glutathione with. N-acetylcysteine is also really nice because it thins mucus. So, and it's also antiviral. It's a great antioxidant and it's antiviral. So if you take it regularly, you're less likely to get colds and you're more likely to detox. It's good stuff. Vitamin C, same thing. In everyday detox, there are things you can eat that will help you with detoxification. So if you eat certain foods much of the time, you're going to detox better. Of course, just eating lots of vegetables and fruit is helpful. If you eat a lot of leafy greens are going to give you lots of magnesium. Magnesium does a bazillion things in the body. That's a technical term, bazillion. Yeah.
So, high tech.
But it is a cofactor in that methylation pathway that we spoke of. It's a cofactor in producing a lot of neurotransmitters. It also, of course, helps your nerves to function more evenly, your nerves and your muscles. If you're low in magnesium, you're going to get more muscle cramps, and you're not going to be calm. You're going to tend to be more anxious. So when you don't eat your leafy greens, you're going to have more anxiety. And if you're sitting here thinking, oh, gee, I'm an anxious person, you have to check, are you eating your enough leafy greens? Because your leafy greens are going to help with that. Your cruciferous vegetables, broccoli and cauliflower and rutabaga and turnip and kale, all of these vegetables have compounds in them that help you detoxify better. And they especially help you to get rid of endocrine disruptors, and so that you don't overaccumulate your own estrogens and your own hormones. So women can tend to be estrogen dominant just because of stress in our lives and our ability to detoxify. So if you eat cruciferous vegetables, that helps to improve that. Just eating a lot of fiber. When you eat a lot of fiber, one of the things you do is have proper probiotics in your system. So you can also take probiotics, and having adequate probiotics are also going to help with detoxification, because good probiotics help to prevent you from reabsorbing toxins into your system. And because there are unfriendly bacteria that will they reactivate compounds in your colon so that you reabsorb the compounds back into your system. So if you have poor digestion, if your digestion is bad for any reason, you have constipation, diarrhea, gas, bloating, you think you have SIBO, anything like that, fixing your digestion is super important, not just because you need to absorb everything so that you that you're happy and healthy, but it's also important for detoxification. One of the things that goes when you have poor digestion is your ability to detoxify chemicals from the environment. So it's a good idea to get your digestion fixed. And, you know, if you have digestive issues, it's a good idea to get them fixed. And in my opinion, that doesn't necessarily mean go to the and nothing against gastroenterologists, but just fixing it by taking a pill that blocks acid, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing something like eating a Mediterranean diet, drinking good quality water, fixing your digestion by fixing your diet so that your digestion functions properly. Just so you know, if you go to the doctor and you take one of those acid-blocking medications because you're blocking your stomach acid, there are side effects for the digestive system from those compounds that you can get more gas and bloating and constipation and diarrhea from taking acid blockers.
And so it creates more of a problem.
It can. Well, sure, it sure can.
Rather than solving it. Yeah.
Yes. Not to mention that you need stomach acid to absorb magnesium and calcium and iron and vitamin B12. And those are really important items in your body. And you also need it to disinfect your food, and you need it to initiate protein digestion.
Didn't you once tell me that apple cider vinegar is another great help for acid issues?
Right. Very simply because the lower esophageal sphincter, that ring of muscle that closes off your stomach so you don't get the reflux,
right. It
will close tightly when the pH of the stomach, when there's a plenty of acid in the stomach, when the pH of the stomach is 2 or below, it'll close nice and tight. If there's not enough acid in there, that sphincter will open. So if you give a dose of acid all of a sudden, which is what vinegar is, just acetic acid, so you're going to lower the pH of the stomach, and that that sphincter is going to close really, really quick. So as soon as that's often people drink a little apple cider vinegar and they have heartburn, they feel better almost instantly. It's because that once that acid hits the stomach, the stomach senses it, and the sphincter just closes up.
So if you take the pill to get rid of the acid,
mm-hmm.
then you're not doing yourself a whole lot of good, are you?
Well, naturopathically, we don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's not, the advantage of taking an acid blocker is if you do, in fact, have ulcerations and you need that stomach to heal, giving it a break from acid for a little while may help it to heal more quickly. So if somebody has a really bad ulcer, they might need to do that. But they're really only supposed to do it for a couple of weeks. The thing is that in naturopathic medicine, we have so many compounds and products and foods that we can encourage you to eat, and other foods that you kind of have to stay away from, that we can help you heal your digestive system without having to take an acid blocker.
So there's foods that you can eat to help the ulcer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Among them are bone broth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so bone broth can do that because bone broth is going to supply collagen to help to rebuild the lining of the digestive system. You can drink marshmallow root tea, which marshmallow root tea and many other teas, marshmallow root, slippery elm, mullein, comfrey, they all are mucilaginous. They have compounds in them that are gooey that help to support the healing of the lining of the digestive system and protect it. And then licorice. Whether it's deglycerizinated or not, we give deglycerizinated licorice because on the average, most people who are having inflammation also have blood pressure problems. Their blood pressure tends to be high. Hmm. So we take the glycyrrhizin out for those people. So anyone can take, as long as you don't have a sensitivity to licorice, anyone can take deglycerizinated licorice. If you tend to have low blood pressure, you can take licorice without the glycyrrhizin taken out. So if your blood pressure really does tend to be low, and by low I mean, you know, it sits around 100 over 70 or less all the time, licorice can be a helpful thing for you to be taking because it can help to keep your blood pressure a little bit more elevated. Like if you have problems with low blood pressure, licorice is a great thing to take. If you have problems with high blood pressure but you want to use licorice to soothe your tummy, because you can get great chewable deglycerizinated licorice or powders. If you have high blood pressure, then you take it without the glycyrrhizin. You take DGL, a deglycerizinated licorice. So that can be really helpful. So, yeah, fixing your digestion, a great way to detox. So I want to remind you, too, that we'll finish off with talking about the emunctories. So the emunctories is a great word. It's a word that means your organs of detoxification. So things that carry stuff out of the body that shouldn't be there. So you're talking about your colon getting rid of stuff through stool, your kidneys and your urinary system getting rid of stuff through your kidneys and the urinary system, sweat, and the lymphatics. Those are the big organs of detoxification. So encouraging all of those to function well, we already talked about using clean, pure water to help to move the kidneys. So if you drink a lot of water, make sure that it's clean, that's as purified as it can possibly be, and that's going to help. That's going to actually help everything, but it will specifically help your kidneys to function more efficiently. It also happens to help your digestive system function more efficiently because you'll be able to make more bile. You'll be able to dilute toxins, and you'll be less constipated, so you'll be able to go regularly. By the way, constipation is a way to get more toxins in your body. If you are constipated, you have to fix it. And constipation, as I understand it, is defined as you don't have a BM every day. If you're going every other day, you're constipated.
Wow.
Naturopaths, we want to see you going at least once a day.
Amazing.
You think that? Why do you think that's amazing?
I don't understand it. The only time I've ever had trouble, like I have trouble with that if I'm flying.
Which is, that's common.
Airline flight causes me to not
slow down.
Be as quick as I normally am, but
right.
I'm normally pretty regular.
Right. So, but yeah, I mean, constipation, I see people who are constipated all the time.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's a common problem. And there's many reasons why it can happen. It's not just because people don't eat enough produce, although a lot of it is because people don't eat enough produce.
Right. And we eat more produce than we do anything else, it seems.
Which is what
we do. We have a large amount of produce that we put down.
Yeah. So, and people don't always do that. People's diets are a lot of quick convenience foods that mm-hmm. aren't always produce-based. They don't have a lot of fiber in them. So that is part of why. Hmm. But people have other issues, too. I've had patients come in who, like, I have, women who've had a lot of babies and they have prolapse. People over time, if they haven't eaten enough produce, they haven't done what they need to do to keep their bowels in good tone, they get diverticulosis, so they have poor tone in their digestive system. So that can tend to make you slow down. If people's thyroids are not corrected, that can make them slow down. Women who have breast cancer, who have had estrogen receptor positive breast cancer and are taking an estrogen blocker like tamoxifen or one of the trazoles, letrozole or anastrozole, known as Arimidex, and there's another name for the anastrozole. Anastrozole and letrozole. Anyway, so those drugs, one of them is an aromatase inhibitor and one of them is just an estrogen receptor blocker, a receptor modifier. When you block estrogen, you reduce the function, you reduce the production of bile. You reduce the production of bile, you become constipated. Guess when else you have low estrogen? Well, on average, it happens at age 51. Yep. So when you become menopausal, you're more likely to slow down because you have less estrogen, so you have less bile happening. One of the things that I will do sometimes, especially with menopausal women, is I'll give them ox bile to take. If they're vegetarian, then I'll find ways to, we'll give them cholagogues and choleretics, your milk thistle and your chelidonium and your artichoke and your dandelion root to help to stimulate the flow of bile. But for some women, like I had a couple of women who were on those estrogen blockers because they had breast cancer and it made them really constipated. So I gave them ox bile and it worked. Yeah, and that's because when you block estrogen and also when you lower estrogen through menopause, it can slow you down. So keeping going is really important. So finding various ways to keep you going, whether it's taking fiber, drinking lots of water, making sure you're getting exercise, doing abdominal massage, getting acupuncture or physical therapy can help you to be more regular. All those things can help you to be more regular. Drinking lots of water is going to help the kidneys to work better. Sweating, sweat. Really important to sweat regularly. Big shout out to Steve Munn up at the ClearPoint Center. They've got a sauna up there, which is really great. And he has a detox program that he does. If you wanted to learn more about that, you can look online at the ClearPointCenter.com website. So that's interesting. Also, if you go to your friendly local naturopathic physician, if you want to do a detox program, like I said, there are products that you might be able to get, big tubs of stuff that we can give you with a 10 or a 14-day detox diet that you can do. That's worth doing once in a while, four times a year, something like that. You can also get supplements that will help you with everyday detox. And there are supplements that do that, and they're going to have things like dandelion root and red root and, artichoke and other radish and all of those herbs that are going to help to stimulate detoxification. And if you eat those in your diet, beets, carrots, lemons, radishes, and cruciferous vegetables, those are going to help you to be more regular and to excrete better. But the other thing, like I said before, sweat. So sweating the best way to sweat is to get exercise. When you get exercise, you're going to push blood flow through all of those emunctory organs, your kidneys, your liver, your sweat glands, and your lymphatics. They're all going to work better if you get regular exercise. So exercise will also make you sweat. And the nice thing about sweating is that it puts less of a strain on those other organs, on your kidneys and your liver. So your kidneys and your liver are going to, they're going to have less of a burden if you sweat regularly. And if you sweat regularly and then replace that sweat with clean water, just everything is going to work better. And the other thing that happens is when you are exercising, you're turning over your blood many, many more times and pushing. It has many, many more cycles through the organs of detoxification. So you're just going to get a lot more bang for your buck if you do regular exercise. So just everything works better. The other thing you do when you exercise is you get rid of old dying mitochondria, and you build more mitochondria, so you have more energy, which improves your metabolism. When you improve your metabolism, of course, you have more energy. But the other thing is that's going to make all of those organs of detoxification work more efficiently. So you're going to detox better if you get regular exercise. If you have a reason why you can't exercise, find a way that you can exercise it. There's usually something you can do. So if you have an injury that's preventing you from exercise, get the injury addressed, whether it's through physical therapy or, chiropractic, acupuncture, massage. By the way, detoxification, acupuncture and massage can help with detoxification. Massage, especially because one of the things you're doing with massage is you're moving circulation. And once you move circulation, you're going to be moving toxins through the lymphatics. So it's really important if you get a massage to drink plenty of water and rest after you've gotten that massage, because you are going to have an extra dump of detoxification while that's happening. But know that regular massage is a way to detoxify. It is one of the things you can do for detoxification. There are special massage therapies that are, in fact, lymphatic drainage type massages, where they specialize in helping your lymphatics to work better. And the lymphatics, what they are is they are, it's a system of a network of vessels that run alongside the veins. And the organs of detoxification are hooked up with the lymphatics. So the lymphatics ultimately dump into the liver and the kidneys. And there's also lymphatics in your digestive system. So they are collecting toxins from the blood, and they run alongside the veins, and they're pulling out toxins from there. And then they ultimately, that stuff gets detoxified. So lymphatics carry white blood cells everywhere through your body, so you can, so they can clean your body out. They'll have antibodies for you to fight infections. And they'll also clean up garbage. So macrophages monocytes turn into macrophages, and they ultimately leave your blood and go into tissues, and they're the garbage cleaners of your blood cells. So anyway, so getting all of those things to work more efficiently, massage is one way to do that. Sweating is another way to do that. Sweating by exercise is a great thing to do, but you can also relax and sweat by sitting in a hot tub or in a steam room or in a sauna. So any sweat that you do and replace with clean water is going to benefit your body. And there are studies that show that saunas, in fact, stimulate your phase one liver detoxification. So those are all important things to do. So I hope we've given you some good ideas for your everyday detox. You can consult a friendly local naturopath to get more help with that. And you can always call and ask questions. The number to call here is 860-486-9487. You can write me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath here on WHUS 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. And we will be back next week with more Radio Naturopath. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, we are podcasted on iTunes. You can subscribe there. You can go to whus.org, click on the talk menu, and you will find Radio Naturopath there. You can also check us out at Franz Dorch ND, Naturopathic Physician, Radio Naturopath on Facebook, and at Franz Dorch ND on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll be back next week on the day before Thanksgiving. Ooh. And the day before the Manchester Road Race.
Yes.
With more Radio Naturopath.